So we get into ICU. I say, lay your hand on her head, and I want you to command a spirit of death to leave her. Yeah. He looks at me. He's in the military, so he knows about following orders. He said it just a little sheepishly at first, but I was there backing him up with faith, knowing that spirit of death will leave. Mm-hmm. This was his time to learn immediately how to bring healing and deliverance to his own mother. I said, pray over her body systems. Like, there were specific things not working. I would say it. He would repeat it. 3 minutes. We left. Come back the next morning. We go into the family ICU waiting room, and there's just a lot of buzz going on, Reagan. And what had happened that morning, Reagan, the mother said to the nurse's station, I think she's moving. They said, oh, no, it's just the nerves. She's not moving. In a moment, the woman sits up and takes her mask off and looks around. And, I mean, everybody's in shock.
Welcome to Revelations Podcast. I'm your host, Reagan Kramer. I am thrilled that you're here. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Revelations Podcast, and take a second right now to click the follow button wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any platform, and so you won't miss an episode. Also, follow us on Instagram at therevelations.podcast, where you can keep up with all God's doing through the show. I just interviewed Adrienne Shales. She's on the executive team of Be in Health Ministries, and this episode is powerful, guys. We talk about laying hands on people in the name of Jesus and seeing their healing, miraculous stories of people that were dead coming back to life, casting out demons, and all God is doing on earth through the kingdom of heaven, through Be in Health, through believers in Christ. You don't want to miss this episode. Enjoy. Welcome back to Revelations Podcast. And I am very excited about our wonderful guest today, Adrienne Shales. She is an incredible daughter of the King, wife, mother, pastor, serves on the executive team at Be in Health. She is a national speaker and is passionate about evangelism and loves to bring truth into people's lives to give them confidence to walk out of Satan's kingdom and live in the newness of life. Amen. I love that. Welcome, Adrienne. How are you?
I'm great. It's a great day in the kingdom of God, Reagan, and it's a delight to serve in the kingdom with you today. So thank you for inviting me to be a part of Revelations Podcast today.
Oh, Adrienne, that's so sweet. And we love you guys. We love Be in Health. My husband and I were down there, I think it was 3 years ago now, three or four. And we spent a week down in Georgia with you at In Be in Health for My Life retreat. And it was one of the sweetest weeks of our marriage because you're just like in these little cabins and you are literally just in the Word of God all week, and you are learning about how God wants to heal you. And there's so many facets to that, and I can let you share about that. But it is something really special, and I will never forget it. And we've told lots of people about it, and many, many of our friends have been down there. And so I'm just so thankful for you guys and what you're doing down there. Pastor Donna Wright, Henry Wright's wife, was also on the show a couple years back, and we had an episode with her about spiritual roots of disease, and that's actually what the episode is called. So listeners, if you haven't listened to that one, you need to go back and listen to what she has to say about the spiritual roots of disease, because it is profound, it is life-changing, and it will open your eyes. So Adrienne, tell us a little bit about what is Be in Health.
Yes. So we are the outreach ministry of Hope of the Generations Church. And at Be in Health, we have the For My Life retreat. And the For My Life retreat is probably what we're really known for around the world. And it is a 1 week healing and wholeness retreat where we take people through almost like a life inventory of the week in that week, where you get to take time out for your life to look through what the Word of God says in very specific topics that could be possible spiritual roots to disease, but also when applying these topics from the Word, Reagan, they can prevent disease. And so we go through topics like the Father's love. So many people, you know, they grew up with a father, or maybe they didn't, or they never heard their father, their earthly father, say, I love you. And even ones that may have heard that, they've told us they didn't see the actions line up with the words. And the enemy's plan is to keep us separated from our Father in heaven. So there's a huge attack on the fatherhood of mankind through our earthly fathers. And when a young woman or a young boy, they don't feel the acceptance of their earthly father, they don't feel the love of their earthly father, the enemy knows that the father was in the house to the earthly father to start mirroring and bring the image of Father God to the family. And so many times through brokenness, children and teens and young adults transfer those difficult relationship moments with their earthly father onto their heavenly father, and therefore they have a breach with their heavenly father as well. So we work to bring people into deeper relationship with the Father through Jesus. We go over what we would say are dead works from Hebrews. And dead works are things we're doing and serving that aren't bringing fruit, aren't bringing life. For example, a spirit of fear, a spirit of rejection, the occult, things in the church that we have slapped Jesus's name on and said, oh, this actually was an occultic practice in another religion, but we're going to call it a Jesus thing, but it's a false Jesus. So recognizing if we have any of these things that we are in agreement with, rejection, fear, self-pity, anger, rage, unforgiveness. And these little things are the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. And so we help to shine the light of God's word into the hearts of the people that come. We have about a 1-hour teaching on each of these critical topics, give the listener an opportunity just to talk to God about it, repent for being in agreement with that. And then we minister simple deliverance over the people. And like the word says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he must flee. And as he flees, healing comes. Sometimes we see healings during the week, but most often over time, the healing comes. And we've been doing this, Reagan, for over 25 years.
Wow.
One week out of every month, the last 25 years, and we've had over 50,000 people come here. And our town is about 10,000 people. So you can imagine like what it's like to be here to have all like our parking lots always full of cars. People from all around the world have come. And we have had the delight to see the glory of God come in the area of healing to tens of thousands of people. So that's what we do in that 1 week. And it's really for every believer to go through, to take that time just to slow down, get in the word, line our hearts with the word, get delivered where we need to be delivered, and let the healing come.
Amen. It's really that simple. And I would also say for me, like you administer tools that we can continue to use throughout our life. And I went because my friend Janessa and Jeremy Meyer, who you know, Adrian, just raved about you forever and ever and ever. And I was, okay, this is almost annoying. I'm just going so you guys will stop talking about it. I'm joking, but I needed to go because the Lord obviously wanted me to go to get more healing. But at that time when we decided to, I was struggling with severe anxiety. And I think it was, and it isn't something that I really had struggled with before. It's sort of, you know, you feel like it came out of nowhere. But Adrian, as you know, things pile up in our lives, right? And, you know, we have unforgiveness. We have fear. There was a whole bunch going on, you know, in 2020. And then God shifted a whole bunch of things in my life. And I also had just going through perimenopause, to be honest. All of these things happened. It was kind of the perfect storm. And the Lord just wanted more healing for me because he knew what he was calling me to. And I didn't. And I didn't know what was happening. And I was scared. And so we went down there and it was the sweetest, most profound week. And George and I would just sit in those little cabins at night and pray through everything, like decompress, talk about what God did. And you also make like really cool friendships down there too, because everybody is there to get the same thing, whether they know it or not. And by the end of the week, you have been through these experiences together that are life changing.
Well, I can relate because when I first came here, I had no intention about being on staff. I came with my fiance, John, who had multiple chemical sensitivities and environmental illness, and God had healed him. So we came because we thought we want to go through this retreat and get all we can cleared up, cleaned up before marriage. And so we came and God taught us so much. We were out in those cabins. He was in one cabin. I was in another. We weren't married yet. But after we married Reagan, we had a 1 month honeymoon. We called it a honey vacation. So 1 month. And we decided to move to Thomaston to go to this church for the first year of our marriage, just to find a place that, you know, wasn't my hometown, wasn't his hometown. We could just figure out who are we together as one. And so I actually started working part-time, answering the phones at the front desk. He was working at the local hospital in the physical therapy department. And as we were seeing week by week, these people coming in with devastating disease, watching them in their process of healing, and some healings were immediate and radical. One woman had this terrible cancer on her face, Reagan. I mean, she looked like she was in severe pain, you know, because you smile, you move your face, or you eat. While we were here, we had been married maybe 2 months, the whole cancer falls off of her face. And not only that, darkness of hatred and anger in her eyes left, because the possible spiritual root behind cancer is resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, hatred, wrath, violence, and a spirit of murder. That's like the whole composite. She repented to God for that. He cleansed her. She received her forgiveness. She forgave others. And in the process of doing that, the cancer fell off. But really what was miraculous is to see the light in her eyes. And we still have pictures, like a before and after. And she has this darkness in her eyes. And the next one, I mean, her eyes are just shining. So when we came, we thought we would be here a year, because John and I met on the mission field overseas in Central Asia. And so we figured we would be headed back there. But we realized God had called us to be here and touch the nations while living stateside.
So good.
And so what we thought would be 1 year is now 25 years.
Wow.
And it has blessed our marriage so much. I mean, to take these tools and use them for your own heart, mm-hmm. in your covenant, and raising 7 kids, we have seen the miraculous come to our home and gotten breakthroughs so quickly that might have taken years and years and years to overcome if you didn't have knowledge and didn't have the tools. So just like you and George had a wonderful time here, so did John and I. And it was so good, we decided to stay. So we stayed a little. All did.
I didn't know that story. Thank you for sharing that. And as you're describing the love of the Father, I like literally could cry again, because I will never forget that teaching in the very beginning of the week. Ever. Like, that impacted me so deeply. I literally could weep right now, because so many people like don't understand, because of their earthly father who maybe did their best, had whatever addiction, you know, there's so many things that can happen, but they relate that to Father God. And when they go through that teaching, and I'm not going to explain it all, but it is so beautiful and life-changing and impactful to your own soul, man or woman. It literally can turn your whole life around, just that one teaching. And so the Holy Spirit has just brought so much revelation. I mean, I know through Dr. Henry Wright, and we love him, and we know he's with Jesus, and and we're so thankful for him. But I'm so appreciative that you guys continue to do this teaching and are giving your lives to this, because you are bringing the kingdom of God down to earth.
Well, we definitely feel very humble in it, because we show up and we know what we're going to teach, but the Holy Spirit comes and does his work. We each have a part. We have a staff of about 30. Everybody has their part. We have a volunteer team. It's never one person that can say, hey, I did this. We came and brought our little part, and God came and multiplied it. You know, at Hope of the Generations, our mission is we are establishing generations of overcomers. We're now starting to see children who took our For My Life retreats are getting married, are having children and coming back as young adults. And for example, one young woman went to one of our Be In Health conferences on the road. We have day and a half conferences all over the country. You can check our website. They are very powerful. They are infused with the Holy Spirit's there. We're teaching the basic foundations of Be In Health. But we did the Father's Love on the road. And one young woman, she didn't put it all together till later, but her father had been to For My Life, and she remembered he changed, and he started really loving the kids and speaking it out and nurturing their hearts. And it didn't occur to her until she was at the On the Road conference. A friend had begged her to go. She went, and she realized this must have been what my dad went to, because she said, I didn't need to go up and receive the Father's love. My dad had already done that. So she called her dad and said, is this what happened to you like when I was a kid? He said, yes. And so that's just fruit of when you start instilling this into the children and the youth, they're going to change. It talks about in Malachi, it says that the fathers will return their hearts to the children and the children to the fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. So it's very critical that fathers are turning their hearts to the children. And about generations of overcomers, now some of we're seeing, like I said, they're growing up, they're having their own families, but some of our kids are teaching. You know, we have our kids when they're 11, 12, 13, 14, start volunteering with the children. A lot of our staff's kids and Be In Health kids, they'll travel in for the summer to let their kids volunteer. They can teach this and live this out better than we can. So we want to see this carried into the generations. There is so much unrest and mental instability in this younger generation. And what's happening, the kids who have been through For My Life Kids and For My Life Youth across the country, they're standing out. They have favor upon them. Their parents have worked through these generational curses. Yeah. They have such a wonderful, really fresh start in life. They're not coming in with all this generational baggage. The testimonies I hear, Reagan, it's not just, you know, sometimes people say, oh, your son or daughter must be doing really well socially or talking to adults because they were homeschooled. This isn't even like, we don't even homeschool, but I'm saying, you know, it's sometimes when you grow the children up more close to home, they behave better with adults. I was just talking to somebody today. His son gets raving compliments all the time about how he's able to interact with adults without fear. Mm. They rise up just like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They rise up in the culture as leaders. You know, the scriptures say that God blessed Daniel and his friends with the understanding of maths and sciences. We find when these kids are delivered at an early age from fear, their minds work better. And so we want to see the generations overcome, that they would have the power to be the light. It's one thing to be able to talk about scripture. It's another thing to live it out with authority and with the power of God upon them. And the youth that are coming through here have the power of God upon them. I want to tell you real quickly, this summer we had a young guy come, and usually at our youth retreats, Pastor Scott will say, okay, who does not even want to be here? And then honestly, like a lot of them raise their hand, like my mom made me come, my dad made me come. One of these guys, he did not want to be here. But at the Father's Love, Reagan, the Lord broke through to his heart. He got born again. He is like a brand new guy. He's probably 15. I ran into him in the parking lot recently. He was up again with his family. He said, hey, you know how they call everybody bro? He's like, hey, bro.
Hey, bro.
Like, hey, bro, you turned me on to God. And to see that, you know, we want to help this younger generation. Let's not wait till somebody's 60 with a disease. Amen. To figure out what to do. Let's start early getting them on track to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, to be delivered of that spirit of fear, to have the anointing of God to be upon them. So that's our heart and our mission to see the generations rise up in righteousness.
That's profound. I would even say we have a 13-year-old, and so he was, you know, like 8 or 9, and there's been a lot of fruit in his life. since we've been at BN Health, because you guys, I talk about this all the time on the show. What the healthier we can get as parents and the more free we can get, the strongholds of the enemy have no power over our children. And so we are changing generation after generation after generation, our grandkids, our great grandkids, and we teach that to our children. And that it has eternal impact, eternal consequences. So this is not little stuff. Even with our son, every 10, 11, 12-year-old goes through times of fear, or they saw something, but we have been able to share with him biblical principles and truth of the word and tools that we've learned. And he will literally, like, at night that sometimes I'll be in bed, like almost asleep, and I'll hear him yelling in his room. And I'm thinking, what's he doing? Like, what? Do you have a little party in there? And he is literally forbidding the enemy to be in his room in Jesus' name. And he is casting stuff out by himself. He doesn't need us, because he's learned and he's watched, and he is not going to let the enemy mess with him in his mind. And I was telling you, Adrienne, my dad's going through stuff. We're looking for hospice for him. And our son, his faith through this has brought me to my knees. Like, he has been so encouraging to me at 13, and I'm learning he has a gift of faith, and it's so beautiful, but it's not without fighting in a spiritual battle that it can't see. But we know Ephesians 6 says that we are in the battle. You clearly know that. You see it every week in the church and what you do, but Jesus has won the war. And so, like you say, we can read the Bible and, like, yeah, that's true, but we need to live that out.
Well, I think part of our theme today is raising up that next generation. And I pulled some testimonies, and you can look on our website, bnhealth.com, under testimonies and read these and see videos. Awesome. You know, this young woman, this little girl here, she was 13. She had 23 warts on her hands, which is not fun to have as a young girl. Ever, but especially when you're going, through that transition in life and people make fun of people. She came here, and as she worked through fear, stress, and anxiety through the teachings, those warts came off of her hands, and she stood up and testified about that. Then there's a young girl here. The mom and dad came. The mom said, "Hey, I realized I was really parenting out of fear." When that spirit of fear is involved, then it transfers to the children. She said the first night here at BN Health, our six-year-old was completely delivered from nightmares by day one. And our eight-year-old, who was very reserved, kicked off her shoes, jumped for joy, and worshiped her heart out at Friday night praise service. So we're seeing the generations change. And when they get changed, they're not quiet about it. This young woman, we have a podcast where I interviewed her aunt. Her aunt was in the New Age heavily, heavily, and God radically saved her, Reagan. And now this aunt talks about the Lord everywhere, has helped many people get set free. So she reaches out to her niece. Her niece gets born again, is on fire, and she travels throughout Europe on vacations and shares the gospel on the cruise ship, prays for people for healing. These youth are not going to stay quiet. They have a passion, and they're going to use it either for the enemy or for God. So we do have these summer retreats. We have two or three of them every summer. They book out. So if anybody's listening, go to our bnhealth.com and get on there and see if you can get your children or youth here. It will be such an incredible investment into your kids, into your legacy.
Oh my gosh. Amen. And I just want to share too, you guys do, like you said, deliverance. You do group deliverance. Sometimes there's individual deliverance through the week. And it is really peaceful. It is really beautiful. And you're already setting the stage for that, because there's already been some work on forgiveness, love of the Father. And so it's really great, you guys, to get away for a week and get some healing for your soul, get some teaching, biblical teaching. Almost everything out of your mouths is scripture. Like, it is, you are bathed in scripture all week. It's really incredible. And God has just done a mighty work there. It's 5 or 6 days, and it will change your life. So I can't say enough about it. So go check it out at beinhealth.org?
.com.
.com. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And I'll have it in the show notes.
Well, I think about deliverance. You know, we all have some kind of thought about that before we've really experienced true deliverance. And like, I think about this. If you think you need more of the kingdom of God in your life, then you probably need deliverance, because it says in the scriptures, it says, if Jesus said, if I with the finger of God, and that also means the power of God, cast out devils, know this, the kingdom of God has come upon you. So I usually ask before we do a big deliverance, I'll say, does anybody want more of the kingdom of God to come upon them? Yes. Okay, here we go. Because this is what it is. We're removing Satan's kingdom so we have the power of God in our midst. And it's the Lord will have all glory come unto him. You know, Paul says, he didn't want us to serve devils. That's what, and we don't want to, but sometimes we don't understand that a spirit of fear really is an evil spirit.
Yes.
It's not just a mindset. It's not just a psychological issue. It's fueled by an evil spirit. And when we can go through what we call here the 8 R's, recognizing, oh, okay, I thought I just struggled with some anxiety and stress. That's actually, I recognize that's an evil spirit of fear. I'm going to take responsibility for that. I'm not going to blame so-and-so for, you know, bringing that difficult situation in my life, a broken relationship, though they might have. I'm not going to blame them anymore for the fear or anxiety or stress or PTSD. I'm going to take responsibility for it in my generations, and I'm going to repent to God for being in agreement with it. And then we move into taking that time to remove it, remove that from your life, and then teaching people how to resist and also how to restore others. Because when we've been changed, we are the person on a mission to bring that change to someone else. And something that's on my heart for today, Reagan, if I can share, I want to help release the laborers out into the harvest. And many times, and I think about this, as we're changed, we are one step ahead somebody somewhere. And we may not feel like we have it all together in order to share with somebody, but we had one win this week that we could encourage someone else with.
I'm excited to share with you about Pulse Ministries. Pulse Evangelism started with one college student, Nick Hall, who had a dream to put Jesus at the pulse of a generation. That small dream has turned into a global movement. In just 20 years, over 721 million people have heard the gospel through Pulse, and more than 2 million have said yes to Jesus. Their mission is simple: reach the lost and raise up the next generation of evangelists. The vision? To reach 1 billion people in the coming decade. And the best part is, you don't have to watch it happen. You can be part of it. Pray, give, volunteer, or take your own next step in faith. Head to pulse.org to learn more.
And I think about Luke 10, where it says, Jesus said, Luke 10, 2, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And that Greek word for send out is ekbala. And it's this forceful pushing out. And sometimes that's what we need. We need to just be in agreement to be forced out into relationships, into the marketplace, into our daily life of where we're going. And know that we are on mission 24/7. And when we let the enemy disqualify us by thinking, hey, I'm still struggling. I don't know who I could help. I don't know what to say. I don't know enough scripture. I haven't prayed enough. And all of that may be true, because we always can be growing. But whatever we have, God can touch it and multiply it. I think about the loaves and the fishes. He had just a little bit. They took it to Jesus. He blessed it. It multiplied. And I want to say to our listeners, anything you have, bring it to God today, right now, and just say, Lord, here I am, whatever I have. It just feels like a little bit, but I'm asking that you would bless it, multiply it, break it, and send it out to feed the people. I have found that breaking through that mindset that I don't know what to say, don't know how to say it, don't know the right scriptures, breaking through that and helping people break through that puts them on mission where they can do the miraculous. The scriptures say that God wrought or worked special miracles through Paul. We are in a day, Reagan, we need special miracles. We need to be available to do whatever God would have us to do. And Mark 16 talks about, I wanted to read this to our listeners. It says in Mark 16, 15, Jesus said unto them, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what that means to me, Reagan, is that we just have to put one foot in front of the other, show up, and know that wherever we are, there's somebody that God wants to use us in their life. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs follow them that believe. And that is such a critical point for us as believers. We need to be believing that God can do this. Here it is. In my name shall they cast out devils.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so how are we going to do that? You start at home. You start in your relationships that you have jurisdiction over. Mm. If you are married, that's where John and I learned to minister to each other. We learned to bring health and healing and wholeness to each other, and sometimes it was through repentance and deliverance. We have jurisdiction over our children. We would teach them to recognize a spirit of fear, and we would command it to leave in the name of Jesus. We started seeing miracles and recovery in our own home. That built our confidence to be when I'm in the checkout line at Walmart or down the aisle at a store and there's a need, let our hearts be moved with compassion like Jesus's was, and I step in. And I step in, we have to hear the Holy Spirit by having an unction or a peace or a movement, because I want to step into the appointments God has for me.
That's right.
And we can't do it. We can't listen to fear, because fear would tell us at this point, everyone is 6 seconds away from going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not everyone is. We just need to talk to the ones God wants us to.
Yeah.
And as we step into those relationships, if I see somebody struggling, I might, you know, go speak kindness to them, build a bridge, help them in some way if it's out in public or the store. And then I simply ask, could I say a prayer for you? I mean, I think one time somebody said no, and that was on a university campus in the DC area, pretty hard area. So I know we're in the South, right, Reagan? I mean, people are much more open to prayer.
Yes, yes.
So in my name shall they cast out devils. How do you cast out a devil in public? You say, I release you from this fear. And I get them to agree. Like, are you struggling with things? If they're, I'm just giving this is not a one size fits all, but people are like, well, how do you cast out a devil in Walmart? If there's a situation and they are in anxiety and stress, I help them see that that's not them. They don't have to struggle with that. That's really related to fear. And I would just say, I release you from that in the name of Jesus. And I've seen people come to peace. I've run into them later and they tell me that it impacted their life. You don't have to use verbiage that's going to startle people.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to be released from that? And then it says, here's the part. Let me find this right here. They speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I look for opportunities, Reagan, to be able to pray for people who are sick, people who are hurting, and let God come meet them and recover. And I just wanted to see where you're at. Are you seeing that people are more open as believers to step out into meeting people in public? What are you seeing these days?
I mean, I'm in Minneapolis, and I would say after the last month here, the believer, God is opening the eyes of the believers. We're in no place to just sit around and stay comfortable. We need to get out and share the gospel. I just did a teaching last week. It's like, if we're not sharing the gospel, what are we doing? Why are we here? And part of that means going out. And like you said, and this is what I try to do every morning. And I ask God for his help, but I ask the Holy Spirit to show me. Okay, I'm even going on a dog walk. I'm going to the wherever I'm going. Lord, who do you have for me today? Where do you want me to pray? Like, I pray around schools. I pray around parks. Like, crazy stuff happens, right? When you ask that, crazy things happen. And I try to teach that on the podcast and talk to people at church and pray for people kind of in the way you just described. Because not only are you praying for people, you're ministering to people and you're teaching them what the kingdom of God looks like. And so as you're praying for people, they're, you know, in the name of Jesus, they're like, wait, okay, I feel better. Who is this Jesus? Right? And it's not like a quick fix for them to feel better. It's for them to understand what the kingdom of God is. And so I see that happening. And I see people even in the church, they want so much more of Jesus. And that's when the gifts start to explode. That's when their passion for the word becomes more important than anything else. And so even though I think we're living in a really hard time, we're living in a beautiful time where the gospel is going for. And the harvest is ripe. And I think he is bringing more workers.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that. Very glad to hear that. And when we move, like the scriptures say in, I think it's Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and yes. have our being.
Yes.
And so we have to think past what normal social situations are and know that we're operating in the kingdom. And when we talk to somebody, I expect something different to happen. Paul says, pray for me in Ephesians 6, pray for me that I may speak boldly as I ought. Boldly means to speak without hindrance. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when our laborers, our sisters and brothers who are out moving into the harvest, you need to expect that God will open doors for you to say and do things that would never fit in a social situation. As you move in, I have seen women weep, cry, ask for help, and 2 minutes earlier, they look tough and mean and hard. But God comes and softens them. I remember several years ago, Reagan, I just want to say, this is how God preps us. You need to be aware every thought you have, it may be God, where you just have this thought. So I was down at our city complex and I had to go pick up something and I saw this pamphlet that said suicide prevention. And I just picked it up and I thought, I want to see what a public notice would say about suicide prevention. Drove an hour out of town, went to a library. I'm walking out of the library and I see this, it just catches my eye, the same pamphlet in Spanish. So I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I have this thought, Lord, are you speaking to me? I walk around the public fountain and I see a young woman hunched over, looks like next to her boyfriend, crying uncontrollably. So I have my mom and one of my sons with us. And I say, hey, I need to go check in on this. So they sit down at the park bench while I go check in on this young man and young woman. I asked him, I said, is she okay? He said, like, yeah, she's fine. And I'm like,
yeah, right.
He doesn't look fine. So I'm like, scoot you over. So I went and talked to her and she can't stop crying, Reagan. And it's rough. So I talked to her and I try to just calm her down, just speak words of comfort to her. And then I say, have you attempted suicide recently? And she weeps even harder and says, last night. So I start sharing God's love with her. And she did not grow up in the church. She did not understand the language. She even said, you know what? I don't even understand what you're saying. I said, okay, great feedback. Let me try again. Because sometimes, you know, when you're in the church, you just say all these churchy things. So I brought it back down to just real life. She prayed to the Father. She confessed her sin out loud. I said, what sins do you want to be forgiven of? So you can be restored to the Father through Jesus. And I tried to say it in a way that made sense in her world, and it did. And she's like, oh, this is going to be hard. And she started confessing sin at that fountain with her fake boyfriend over there just listening. And she repents. She gets born again, and this joy fills her face and her countenance. And I'm literally thinking, she looks so different. She looks at me and she said, do I look different? She's like, I feel different. She's like, can you take a picture of me? I want to see if I look different. I said, girl, you look so different.
That's amazing.
So we do that. We part ways. I never see her again, but I know I will. This is where we have to be ready to be. In Him, we live and move and have our being. You don't have to take some extensive classes to know how to share the gospel. In the moment, God will teach you and show you what to say. And we have people to give us feedback, like my nice sister who said, I don't really even understand sure. what you're talking about. So I want people to be aware. I want you to notice that if your attention is just drawn to somebody or a situation, it's probably the Lord showing you something, and you step into it. I step into situations that have really phenomenal results, but I don't even know what I'm going to say or do in the moment, because if I overthink it, I may not follow through. So I want to encourage our listeners, just make yourself available, jump in, offer love, offer compassion, offer prayer, and God already has it figured out. He will already orchestrate what you need to do to bring help and wholeness and healing and whatever He wants to in that moment, that He might do, as with Paul, work special miracles for you in that moment.
Agreed. That's a word. Thank you for that, Adrienne. That's beautiful. And He uses everybody. He uses everybody. So we're not special, guys. He wants to use you, and He wants to use you today. And there are so many people that are broken and hurting and suffering and need Jesus. So we're going to bless you before we go. But Adrienne, I know we only have a couple more minutes because you need to go teach, and we're grateful for that. But the other part of that Mark verse is lay hands on people, they will be healed, cast out devils, and raise people from the dead. And I heard you had a prayer experience where you saw something like that. Is that true?
Yes. So again, you know, when you live and move and have your being in God, you just think, you don't even know, you're just moving. So one morning I woke up and thought, and I'm a chaplain at our local hospital, and I encourage people, do things within your community where God can use you. You know, be a part of the library board, be a part of the band booster, be a part of something that puts you in touch with people outside of your circle regularly. They need the help. They need the volunteerism, but they need the Spirit of God showing up with you in that place. So I thought, I'm going to go up to the intensive care unit today and see if anybody needs prayer. So I took a friend of mine, a Be In Health friend, Missy. We go in, and I just simply say to the charge nurse, does anybody here need prayer today? And she said, oh, they all do. So I go in with Missy, and they have somebody in room 2 with family, and they have somebody in like room 8 that is on life support. So I thought, let's take the easy one where we don't have to deal with family. We can just go right into this person, their situation. So I go in, she's on life support, you know, in a coma, not speaking, not moving. And I just look at her bracelet to catch her name. And here's what I encourage people. Even when people are in a coma or are not awake, their spirit woman or spirit man is alert and alive. So I wanted to speak hope and stability to her. So I assured her, we are here. God has brought us here. I used her name. And, you know, we don't have the diagnosis. We don't know what's going on, but it looks like big problems. So Missy and I just lay hands on this woman and just start praying over her brain, her body systems. It looked like she'd had a head trauma. We just prayed healing. And really, I would just say it felt like we just made it up as we went. We didn't follow a formula. It took about 3 minutes. And Missy and I looked at each other, and Missy said, you know what? I think we need to come back every day for 3 days, and God's going to raise her up.
Wow.
So that night, I could not sleep, Reagan. I just was at this place with Mark 16. They that believe shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I could tell that doubt coming, and I would say, no, I believe. All I have to believe is that You, God, will recover them. You can do this. And I started just thinking into the future. Like, I'm trying to imagine this woman is going to be healed. Like, I would like to even be in her home and like read the Bible with her. And like, I just started thinking past, would this happen? This will happen. And here's where we're going to go. So we went back the next morning. We go to the waiting area for ICU for the family, just to see if anybody in there needed prayer or encouragement. There were two young men. They were her sons. One had been called in on emergency leave from the military because he said he was told his mother would either not make it or be in a coma the rest of her life. And so I thought, well, let's see if this guy's saved. Let's start here. So he was saved. And I said, oh, and here's what he said. He said, the doctors called us and said something has happened in the night and that there's been a beginning of a turnaround. And so Missy and I, we knew God was at work. So I spoke to the young man. I said, do you know how to bring miracles and healing into people's lives? And he said, no, I mean, I don't know how to do that. I said, do you want to learn? And he said, yes, ma'am. So I prayed over him. I said, well, you're going to need the fullness of the Godhead, like the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to the power of God to do the works of God. Showed him a few scriptures. Do you want this? He said, absolutely. So I prayed over him. I said, receive the Holy Spirit. And by faith, I just know he received the Holy Spirit. I said, let's go in, take me to your mom, and I'll teach you how to pray over her. So we get into ICU. He's still looking at me like, are you sure I can do this? I said, you can do this. I say, lay your hand on her head, and I want you to command a spirit of death to leave her. He looks at me. He's in the military, so he knows about following orders. He said it just a little sheepishly at first, but I was there backing him up with faith, knowing that spirit of death will leave. Mm-hmm. This was his time to learn immediately how to bring healing and deliverance to his own mother. I said, pray over her body systems. Like, there were specific things not working. So I would repeat it. I would say it. He would repeat it. 3 minutes. We left. Come back the next morning. We go into the family ICU waiting room. And there's just a lot of buzz going on, Reagan. And what's really funny, Missy and I were dressed for church. I had my oldest son. I like to take our kids with us so they know this is just normal life. We just go pray for people in the hospital. We just go door to door. We just do this. We go in and we have, I just remember our heels were clicking because we had our Sunday shoes on. And the mother of the woman that was in ICU looks up and she said, here you are. She said, I had called Friday for the chaplain to send the Catholic priest in to visit with my daughter. And they told me, the nurses told me, two women came and I knew they must have sent the nuns. Missy and I are laughing because we, if you looked at us dressed for church Sunday with our high heels on, the nuns had not shown up, just Missy and Adrian. And what had happened that morning, Reagan? The mother was in visiting the woman. The woman was in her late 30s.
Wow.
And the mother in her 60s said to the nurse's station, I think she's moving. They said, oh, no, it's just the nerves. She's not moving. In a moment, the woman sits up and takes her mask off and looks around, and I mean, everybody's in shock. That's why the ICU waiting room was just buzzing. So they're telling me this. I said, can I go in and see her? So we go in and see this woman sitting up. She doesn't know what happened to her. She just knows that what had happened, I found out later, is she had been with no heartbeat for over 30 minutes.
What? Adrian, this is a total miracle.
Total miracle. Total miracle. The EMTs say that they had her inside the ambulance on a stretcher. They actually called out to ask the time to put on her death certificate. And then in that moment, they felt the heartbeat come. So they take her to the ICU. They take her to the ER. She's admitted to ICU. That morning, I have this random thought, like, I think I'm just going to go up and pray for somebody in ICU. So God brings this woman back. Not only that, because of being without a heartbeat for so long, they tested she has zero brain damage, no heart damage. She had one dialysis treatment, no damage to her kidneys. They moved her over to the regular floor. So I go visit her. I lead her to faith in Jesus. She gets born again. I baptize her in the Holy Spirit. I lead her mother to faith in the name of Jesus. I baptize her in the Holy Spirit. And the next week, I'm invited into their home and I take two Bibles to let her pick. Which one do you want? And I get to read the Bible with her in her home. And all through that time of being on the regular floor, she said, all these nurses and doctors keep peering in to see, is it really me? Because they did not expect her to live. Now, she comes through for my life. She ends up getting even water baptized. I get to baptize her. Just a full story of in Him we live and move and have our being. For those that believe, we have the power in God to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But we have to believe. There's this big war with doubt and unbelief as we're believing. And that's a journey for us. And God's even bigger than our doubt and unbelief. But when He can get a believer to believe, really, in God, all things are possible.
Wow.
So I want to say, like, I have zero special anointing. We're all anointed. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, for He's anointed us to bring and preach good news to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I want everyone listening to say, I qualify to do the miraculous because of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus did the work. We're the workers with Him. And what I love about the scripture, it says in Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them.
Yes.
Anytime we're out. Oh, and confirming the word with signs following. Anytime we're out, you're never alone. The Lord's working with you. So I wanted to share, nobody's special here. Jesus is special. He's the anointed one. And we are His disciples. We are His servants. We are His friends. And we get to go out and do things with Him. So one thing I wanted to mention before we go, I want to have an ability to give a gift to your listeners. We're giving away 100,000 copies of Dr. Wright's book, Exposing the Spiritual Roots of Disease. This right here.
I love that book.
It tells all about spiritual roots of disease, goes over the major disease classes and what the possible spiritual roots are. If you go to our website at beinhealth.com, and there's always like those three little things you can click on the right side, click one and it comes down to say testimonies. You can look in here and listen and read testimonies, but under that testimony tab, you can request your free copy, just pay shipping, of the book. And this will encourage you. These are books to give away. These are books to read. So I wanted to make sure everybody had an opportunity to get a gift from us today, Reagan.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Adrienne. This has been, talk about special. This has been a really special episode. I'm so grateful for you. Would you pray us out? Thank you for the gift of the book. You guys got to get it. I love it. I reference it all the time for myself and other people. But would you pray for our listeners as we go and just bless them in their calling?
Yes. Father in heaven, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, we praise you. We give you glory, and all glory goes to you. All glory goes to your Son. Father, for our listeners today, the enemy has made them feel disqualified or unqualified or unable to do your works, your signs, wonders, and miracles. But God, you made it possible through Jesus that everyone born again, everyone that has the Spirit of God living within them, the power of God, can do these things. Father, today, release the people into the harvest. put a burning passion in their heart to walk with you and to see what you want to do as you are working with them. Father, take them, multiply them into their communities, bring them divine appointments, help them have eyes to see what the Holy Spirit sees as He looks through their eyes. Father, set up these divine appointments. Father, give them peace, give them boldness that they can speak freely, unhindered, the message of God that you put upon their hearts. Father, may through this there be many people touched, many people set free, many people delivered and made whole, and in the process that happens to us too. And as we walk with you, God, it's so much easier sometimes to see your love as we walk with you and we see how you open up doors to confirm what we're doing with you through the results in other people's lives. I bless these people. May these words not fall away that don't need to fall away, but God, you would bring the word and it would spring up and bring fruit in our friends' lives today. I bless Reagan. I bless the Revelations podcast. Father, put your favor upon it. May it reach more listeners than ever this year. May it pull people out of darkness and into knowledge of you and your son, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. And if people want to find you, are you on social media?
Yes, at Be In Health. We actually follow us on Instagram. We have a lot of cool things on Instagram and also on Facebook at our Be In Health handle.
All right. Well, bless you in your day.
Thank you so much for listening to Revelations Podcast. I am honored and humbled that you are here. If you would like to partner with us and contribute financially to editing and production costs, would you go to www.therevelationspodcast.com and hit the contribute button? Otherwise, go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and give us a 5-star rating. It lends credibility to the show and it helps spread the word about what God is doing. Thank you so much for supporting the Revelations Podcast.